more hand gestures here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Thanks for tuning back, and I'm Nick McNamara. In studio with me, Manhattan Mayor Linda Morse, City Manager Ron Fear.
I promise I won't treat you like a Pats fan to Tyreek Hill. I promise. I won't.
Yeah, they don't let us have beer.
Not
here
my nature.
Anyway.
Well, it was the other hand gestures that he received.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what I was referring to. Of course, Travis Kelce got some the week before. Anyway, move on.
Yes. off of football news, we're talking city news. Coming up tonight, there is a city work session meeting. That's at the Manhattan City Hall. You can also check that out, Cox Cable Channel 3, cityofmhk.com/TV if you can't make it out. And I also feel like I kind of messed up by not mentioning, but at the very beginning of the show is the last day to register to vote. I mean, we've been kind of plugging that all morning, but if you haven't registered to vote, you can go online, county clerk's website, go down to the county clerk's office, and get it done. All right.
Absolutely.
Now that we're through that, we've also been kind of talking about the voicemails down there at the city offices. I understand that a power outage knocked down the phone system, and now voicemail is going to be down for the rest of the year.
It is. So we had an antiquated voicemail system as it was, and we still are, some people will relate to, we still are under the old Plexar phone system. And the systems, we've been buying spare parts and other things on eBay or wherever we can find it to limp this system along. And unfortunately, we had a planned power outage to do some electrical work with the auditorium a couple of weeks ago, and during that outage, we had the generator kick in that backs up most of our computer system, and unfortunately, that generator had some issues, and as part of that process, we weren't able to keep band-aiding together the voicemail system, which has had some sporadic issues previously. And so we are in the process of a couple of months ago, we started a process of converting to voice over IP. A lot of people have had that for a long time, but the commission recently approved that process for an upgrade, which is actually, we're going down to reducing a number of telephone lines, so it's pretty much paying for itself, but that'll be quite a while before we're fully transitioned to that. So we'll have that permanent new backup system once that system's in place, but unfortunately, we won't have a voicemail system at City Hall and some of our other places. It's primarily the City Hall. Other departments have different voicemail systems, so like the fire department, that sort of thing. But you can try to dial directly to offices and just keep trying. So we hope folks will weather with us on that. And, We do have folks that answer the phones regularly. You don't have attendant calling necessarily, so we hope that our customer service will still be there for folks.
And I understand that you're encouraging folks who maybe aren't able to get a hold of someone they need to get a hold of that day to check out the website and find
right.
the staff directory and give them an email.
Sure.
Send an email along
yep.
if you can't leave a message.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and I believe we do have a caller, so let's get to it. Caller, go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Well, thank you for your people that are answering the phones and doing what they can, but do you think that this is an indication of the multiple problems occurring here in Manhattan, whether it's the flooding of the Wildcat Creek or the having the police station right on the banks of the Wildcat Creek at risk, or the officers not having their own vehicles? Well, the problems with the ambulance, or we go on and on and on. Do you think that's the reason that our police chief candidates refused to have anything to do with it and walked away? And I don't blame them. I think that the level of intelligence that they recognize the problem here is that we have something here that we need to deal with. Thank you so much for all your efforts.
I can just speak to the telephone system. I know that Ron has had it on the capital improvement program for a couple of years, and he or we kept kind of nixing it. So the payday is now that it stopped working, or it got a real shock of electricity probably that caused it not to work. With regard to the other things, that we're not able, we are not in control of a lot of the issues the caller spoke about. So there's a specific group working on the Riley County Law Enforcement Director's position, and some of the other area that, I mean, heavens, how can we fix everything to do with the Wildcat Creek flooding or the Blue River flooding or the Kansas River? What we can do is continue to work at it and never relax. And after the 51 flood, everybody relaxed. They built the levee and everybody said, oh, we're safe, and until we weren't anymore. And so we just keep raising the level of the flooding and having to compensate for it. And so I'm hopeful that we can look further forward this time, and Wildcat Creek especially, because there's nothing that stops it. It's just gushes. So those detention ponds, it, not just the two on Fort Riley, but the other, like 15 we're talking about, on even getting private landowners to work with us, that's going to take a little bit of time. And we will want to work with them because it will benefit them also. Adding capacity perhaps to their farm ponds or, you know, other people around other parts of the country have solved some of these things, and we need to really consider them also. So, Ron, I don't know. I missed some of the – I know I didn't cover everything.
Sure. No, relative to the flood, we've got several things going on. We're going to talk about it some more Thursday at the city-county meeting and talk about getting the Wildcat Working Group back together after 5 years, which was called for in the plan that they approved. And we've done accomplished a lot on that particular plan. So the other aspects of that are such that we've got the Natural Resource Conservation Service in this week that are looking at helping us with some armoring and recovery on some of the stream banks that receive some heavy erosion. And so there's a lot of continuing work. Flood recovery is a long-term thing, and we're also still very hopeful that there'll be some components for some funds made available from the state and federal government for some buyout of some of the properties, and there are property owners that are interested in participating in that program.
And I think the governor did just make a public, or pretty last week, made a public assistance declaration request to the federal government.
He did, yes, that's correct.
All right, talking in here, if you're just tuning in, City Manager Ron Fear, that you just heard speaking, Mayor Linda Morse was also in studio talking here, and I guess it might be good. We went over a little bit of the flood updates there. There's not a whole lot just yet. It's going to be ongoing, as you say. But I think it also might be good to touch on K-State numbers. That's kind of been a big deal for the city, especially regarding sales tax and the like. And we've recently seen the report that they're down, I believe, 500 students this year. I guess your thoughts on the state of K-State going forward now.
The Topeka paper quoted 504, that K-State is down 547 headcount. There's an effort by the Board of Regents in that article to convert the numbers to full-time equivalents students by adding up all the credit hours. And so, but it's hard to compare the apples to oranges. So I just try to think about it as simply as possible. But it is a concern. And I know that even our city is talking to K-State about ways that we can even help, and what would that look like. We have an effort called International Town Gown. We've been to two conferences, and they talk about the what's happening on the campuses across the country. And it's interesting to know that we aren't out here in the middle of Kansas by ourselves. We have the same issues in common with other universities our size, and I guess big and small. So we're starting to really, I think, come down to some issues we can work together on and that we're both interested in. So there are, you know, just little things like golf carts, maybe, and that we have an ordinance that says you can't ride them in the streets. But so we're looking at, you know, just things like that. Like, does that have to be? And but on the other, you know, if you live, I am familiar with Clyde, Kansas, and they run the whole town, I swear, runs on golf carts up and down the alleys, and even kids drive them. You know, some communities have no rules, and some say you have to be 18, you have to have a driver's license, and so there's a lot of room for communities to make decisions for themselves. And as a community with, you know, 22,000, I hope, students, and Fort Riley personnel and dependents, we have to think sometimes in a younger way than we might be used to thinking, you know, with a rigid kind of, and I don't know what those changes are, but I just think that we're willing and we're interested in talking to K-State about some peripheral issues that we can't help with their academic issues, or there are just points that are not part of what we can do, but the partnerships we can bring are important.
And I feel in relation to that, transportation is kind of a big deal. You were able to help out with the ATA bus in some amount. And then there's also bike programs going on that's more pushed by the K-State students. But I feel like those are all ways that, you know, the city being able to get involved is a good way to help out. As you mentioned, you can't really do anything about the academics.
Yeah. The students are also, the Student Governing Association is also investigating an opportunity to bring, like, e-scooters. I don't want to talk about a brand name, and I don't know if that's a brand name, but that would be something that students would be enthusiastic about, and we just need to keep track. You know, the city needs to give it a lot of thought, too. So it's a trend around the country. It's kind of exciting. The students love them.
I'll just add, you know, we're aware that the university is developing a plan for increasing enrollment over a period of time, and as I understand it, the graduating classes have been fairly large, and I think the encouraging thing that came out of the new data was that the freshman class was up. So I think that's an encouraging role, and if we can keep that situation continuing, then we'll be able to go on from there. I know the Region Reimagine program that the Chamber has sponsored is also looking for ways that the community can assist the university in that regard.
All right, and I think it's time for our next break here. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about a few more things and then get into some, like, into some of the actual agendas for the upcoming meetings. So stay tuned for more here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN.